probably be a good public forum.
Yeah. The activities it performs.
If you think anybody at least will. And then discuss the board on how we should what specifically could help them.
Yeah. Any other points? Chapter is very important to understand, because this chapter explains the consciousness of pure devotional service. We see in the beginning of the chapter, up until verse 10, then we see Kundalini describes devotional service which is contaminated by the three modes of material nature. And the type of devotional service we should not perform. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, devotional service in the mode of passion, and even devotional service in the mode of goodness is not pure devotional service. It is not amala bhakti, or shuddha bhakti, or kevala bhakti, or uttama bhakti. It is not pure devotional service. So then, Kapila Muni, he discusses, verses 11 and 12, the characteristics of pure devotional service. That is, it is a completely selfless stage of consciousness. Completely devoid of the influence of the modes of material nature and simply motivated by love for Krishna. Without love for Krishna, then one cannot perform pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is inspired. Yeah, or it's inspired by love for Krishna. This is the motivation. This is what drives a devotee to serve Krishna. So then, Kapila Muni describes the different types of activities which are performed in devotional service in order to cultivate devotional service up until verse 19 or so. And now tonight we'll go from verse 20 to 33 and we'll see the vision of a pure devotee, or one who has come to the platform of pure devotional service. So it's a very interesting section, a very interesting chapter, a very important chapter in Kapila Dev's teachings. And then we'll see from at the end of this section, verses 30 to 33, 28 to 33, then Kapila Muni will describe the stages of consciousness of different living entities, like that. From the lowest type of consciousness up to the very most advanced consciousness within the material world. In the next chapters, you'll go further into this analysis of Sankhya. Any other points? Any other points? Russ, have you got that photo of the point?
I forgot it at home.
Okay. Bring it tomorrow then.
Yeah, I realize now when I saw them,
yeah. Okay. So we'll begin from? Verse number? 20. As the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches a sense of smell, similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness can catch the Supreme Soul who is equally present everywhere. So this is the nature of pure devotional service. Just as air may catch an aroma. So when the air catches an aroma, then it takes that aroma, and when it touches the sense of smell, it captivates the sense of smell. Sometimes we smell something very wonderful, and then immediately we become stunned. We cannot do anything. Well, we're just simply captivated. So similarly, one whose consciousness is saturated in thoughts of Krishna, he captures Krishna in that way. And Krishna becomes attractive. to someone who is always thinking of him. Mammana bhava mabhakto. When he always thinks of Krishna, then he will capture Krishna. Therefore the injunction of Krishna consciousness, as Rupa Goswami has taught, is always think of Krishna and never forget Krishna. Because this consciousness, when one has this pure devotional mentality, it will attract Krishna, will captivate Krishna. It will force him to become attracted to the devotee. As Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur has said, do not try to see Krishna. Act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Now, this is pure devotional service. So Kapila Muni is further describing the symptom of the consciousness of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is impelled by love for Krishna, Krishna prema. And because of that prema, that love, Krishna is automatically attracted to him. Krishna is always thinking of his devotees, and his devotees are always thinking of him. Yeah, that is Krishna consciousness.
What does he mean with chariot?
What is the meaning of chariot?
Chariot. Chariot.
Yeah, like the chariot of the mind. Yeah. Then the chariot of the mind carries one. So it is said like it says here yoga ratham, or in the Bhagavatam elsewhere it says like mana ratham, means that the mind is like a chariot.
Ratha.
So when the mind is absorbed in Krishna, then automatically the mind is carried to Krishna. And then Krishna becomes attracted to that devotee. I am present in every living entity as the super soul. If someone neglects or disregards that super soul everywhere and engages himself in the worship of the deity in the temple, that is simply imitation. So we'll read that circle. Krishna
consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one is the presence of Krishna everywhere.
If therefore one only engages in deity worship, for example, and does not consider other living entities, then he is the lowest grade of devotional service. One who worships the deity in the temple and does not show respect to others is a devotee on the material platform, in the lowest grade of devotional service. A devotee should try to understand everything in relationship to Krishna and try to serve everything in that spirit. To serve everything means to engage everything in the service of Krishna. If a person is innocent and does not know his relationship with Krishna, an advanced devotee should try to engage him in the service of Krishna. One who is advanced in Krishna consciousness can engage not only the living beings, but everything in the service of Krishna.
So what are the points here?
In purified consciousness, one sees Krishna everywhere.
We should see Krishna is there like in the form of super soul in everything, so we have to respect everybody just as much as we respect the deity like temple. But doing deity worship and not really seeing Krishna in everything, in everybody's heart, then that is not good in your life. Even Sotanishad also says that everybody has to see super soul in everything.
Pure vision.
At the end of the paragraph, Prabhupada mentioned that in advanced Krishna consciousness, one can engage not only living being but everything in service. If we are the topmost.
Deity worship is necessary but not sufficient for the devotion.
I think the nectar of devotion is that any one of the processes from the nine processes, which is Arshinam as well, if perfected properly, then it can liberate a person.
Right.
So, again, this statement is contradicting that statement again.
No, it's not. Maybe it seems like that, but it's not. If you look at it more closely, it's not contradicting. Any other points?
The caring attitude, I maybe apologize if I'm saying this, but I do not find that in this temple.
Really? What about in this course?
Sorry?
What about in this course?
The course we do find, but outside the course, there is a lot of disengagement.
So then come to the course. What's the problem?
I'm saying summary of this paragraph. Yes, not only that we would be positively see that we do not kill any animal or any other entity, but at the same time that caring attitude well is to the extent it is required in a temple environment, I do not find that wholeheartedness warm.
What about in the course?
I said that
answer. So what's the answer?
The answer is, in the course we do find it.
So then that's the answer. The answer is that when you hear and chant about Krishna, then those qualities develop. But if the devotee is not hearing and chanting, those qualities will not develop sufficiently. That's the answer. So therefore come to the course. What's the problem?
That's where
you're
coming from.
Then there's no problem.
The neophytes are advised to worship the deity in the beginning because they are normally not very much respectful of the position of the other devotees. So they are asked to repose their basically respect to the Supreme Lord. And in that process they become purified and come to the platform of appreciating the devotees. So as a result of the deity worship process, that purification takes place automatically.
So it is being said here that a Kanishtha Adhikari, he has respect for the deity. But then Lord Kapila Devi is saying here, because he is the deity, Kapila Devi is Krishna, he's one of Krishna's plenary portions, he's extended, he's God himself, he is the deity. He is saying this is not satisfying to me. What is the point if you offer all respect to the deity or all respect to the guru, but you cannot respect the devotees, the Vaishnavas? Then what is the point? What is the use?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is said here it is imitation. It does not satisfy the Lord. The Lord does not become satisfied. You can offer all respect to the deity, you can offer all respect to the guru. If you do not offer respect to the devotees, if you do not offer respect to all living entities, where is the satisfaction for the Lord? So this is the Kanishta stage of consciousness. It's a very low level of devotional service. And one is on that low level of devotional service, he doesn't have proper spiritual vision. He has material vision. It is imitation of devotion. He may appear like a devotee externally, but he's actually just imitating a devotee. He doesn't have that deep realization. One who is actually a devotee, an advanced devotee, he has spiritual vision. Spiritual vision means he has respect for all living entities, for all devotees, all Vaishnavas. He knows how to respect people appropriately. So that is the proper stage of consciousness. So Kapila Dev, in the next few verses, he'll very importantly, it's a very important point, he elaborates on this point. One must learn to respect all living entities, and he'll explain why. Prabhupada will explain why in the next. Does that cover what you? Yeah. Okay.
Really,
I've
got one problem.
Yeah.
I've got the last sentence.
I've got many problems.
Not only living entities, but everything. But everything, I mean, there are mosquitoes, there are the cockroaches. How can you use them?
How can you what?
How can you use them in Krishna service?
Yeah, you can offer them prasad.
The mosquitoes are biting you.
Yeah, that's their business. That is their purpose.
But how can you? Well,
you
are
here
to kill them. But
you can only kill them if they attack you. One time, Small Krishna Maharaj was in India, and he was cooking for Prabhupada, and he went into one kitchen, and there was many mosquitoes. So he killed many mosquitoes before it began. And then he cooked, and then he said to Prabhupada, when I went to the kitchen, there were so many mosquitoes, I had to kill them. Prabhupada said, you should not have killed them. Prabhupada explains that in this section. He said, you should not have killed them. He said, if they bite you, you can kill them. But he said, otherwise you should not kill them.
So, if they bite you, you are killing them, but you are not using for this.
Then give them the fight. So what happens?
They have attacked you and it just killed them.
Yeah. What I do, I let them bite me. Because my blood is prasad. Because after 7 years, if you take prasad, your whole body becomes prasad. You get every cell becomes spiritualized. So I just let them eat. I said, it's prasad in distribution.
And what about the cockroaches?
That's a cockroach. Now, can we talk about this one later? Is that okay? Because this one is a very deep one. I don't want to. I can't speak this one in public so much.
Okay.
Never mind. Later on, we'll have some email conference with
discuss.
Okay. So, coming back to the example, then we say that you have to give respect to the pure devotees.
Hmm.
And I was listening to a lecture in which the Gauranga Prabhu, he talks about, okay, if you come, are you giving me? No, then why I should worship you? Why should I serve you? Then he gave an example of like telescope. The more lenses you have in a telescope, the more devotee you serve, the closer the mountain appears. So it's like a whole effort that we lead to the destination, just not one. So if you serve many devotees, it's like putting more and more lenses into the telescope. If there are more lenses, that combination of all will make Krishna appear closer to you. So that's how you have to serve all the devotees. Not just say pure devotee, I mean pure devotee, then nobody says he's pure, then he won't serve anyone.
Yeah, it's good. It's a nice example.
But Prabhupada makes the thing that he says, if a person is innocent, so that's the, I mean, he need not be a devotee, but if he's innocent, and so then we can, I mean, he should be given the due respect.
Should be served, yeah. Prabhupada explained these points as we go through the purports. The basic principle is that if one has spiritual vision, one is advancing Krishna consciousness, that he offers respect to every living entity. Because he sees them as part and parcel of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And he offers respect to all devotees. Kanishta mentality, very low devotional mentality. Neophyte mentality means you offer respect to the deity, you offer respect to the guru, but you do not offer respect to the Vaishnavas, to the other living entities. That is not satisfying to Krishna. Krishna says it's just like imitation worship. Right? You do the worship, it doesn't satisfy Krishna. How does it satisfy Krishna? Now, you do all the nice worship for Krishna, you offer Krishna so much opulent paraphernalia and so much opulent bhoga and so forth, but Krishna is not satisfied because you do not offer respect to the other personalities. Just like you saw Duryodhana, then he offered so much to Krishna in terms of paraphernalia, but Krishna was not satisfied. Because he was not offering respect to the other living entities. He's envious.
Also in the Upanishad it says that an advanced devotee sees the two persons in everyone's heart. He's such a person where the anxiety is such a, like anxiety, because in the material world everybody is looking at something there. That is why there is so much anxiety, that if he sees everybody sitting not present as the person, then there is the anxiety.
In this case, basically the service by Kanishka is service in the mode of, in the lower modes?
Yeah. And he's in the, he's in the lower, he's not in the mode of goodness. Because these are not the symptoms of the mode of goodness. Too much ignorance, too much passion. He's an ignorant person. Passionate, ignorant, but ignorant person. Okay. Any other points? Okay. One who worships the deity of Godhead in the temple but does not know that the Supreme Lord as Paramatma is situated in every living entity's heart must be in ignorance and is compared to one who offers oblations into ashes. Sacha Prabhu, can you read the second paragraph?
If without his preliminary knowledge of the Lord's omnipresence, one simply attaches himself to the rituals in a temple, church or mosque, it is as if he were offering butter into the ashes rather than into the fire. One offers sacrifices by pouring the clarified butter into a fire and chanting Vedic mantras. But even if there are Vedic mantras and all conditions are favorable, if the clarified butter is poured on ashes, then such a sacrifice will be useless. In other words, a devotee should not ignore any living entity. The devotee must know that in every living entity, however insignificant he may be, even in an ant, God is present. And therefore, every living entity should be kindly treated and should not be subjected to any violence. In modern civilized society, slaughterhouses are regularly maintained and supported by a certain type of religious principle. But without knowledge of the presence of God in every living entity, any so-called advancement of human civilization, either spiritual or material, is to be understood as being in the mode of ignorance.
Any point here?
That's more than just that.
I was remembering the point, Shruti, what is his name? Prabhupada's servant, Shruti. Shruti. He was mentioning that once there was a flower and insect was there in the room, and Prabhupada asked him to clean and he didn't see the insect. Then Prabhupada showed him and told him to take it out and take it in the garden and put it in the tree.
Mm.
That shows Prabhupada's consciousness so high, elevated, and he was teaching with the example.
Mm.
That's how we have to treat everyone as a person. Because Krishna is there.
Nice point. There's one pastime with Prabhupada. Just thinking what sort of insect it was. Might have been a cockroach, actually. I'm just trying to think. It is one pastime. I'm just trying to think of what it's a cockroach. But Prabhupada picked it up and he took it to the window and then he put it out the window and he said, I give you the world. Yeah, it's nice pastime.
Today was my volunteering day. As a part of my employment, I have to go and serve for 2 days in a year.
So today I want for that sacred heart kusha. You know that sacred kusha heart. So in the same sense, sir. You know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
So my duty was in the kitchen, so I'm just helping them cook food. I said to be just deep, stick with the vegetarian thing. But then I saw it was like some of three or four dishes were no vegetarian, and then again one dish is only like say eggplant and this tuna, so that piggy vegetarian as well. So they also do the charity, but they are also serving this meat, and so it's not just feeding them, they won't die, but they are not cooking it much. But the right thing to understand from the whole.
It means they have their heart becomes a little soft because they're doing some service for others. Not that, but because they're in the mode of ignorance, because they don't understand what is the proper conduct of human beings, that they should not eat meat or serve meat, then because they're in the mode of ignorance, they'll get reactions for the sinful activity. Not that. But still, they're also soft, their heart is becoming a little softer because they're at least doing some charity work for others. So it's a mixture of their.
So the Lord says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that whatever you do it as an offering to God. So here is a person in ignorance, he's offering. Now the Lord is saying that his offering is like offering basically sacrifice to ashes. So doesn't he get relevant because there is an offering on his part, he's giving it to Krishna, always in mode of ignorance. Isn't there basically
the purification? Prabhupada says in one of the purports in this section, he says that it is better than nothing. Because obviously he's doing something spiritual, so he makes some advancement. But Prabhupada points out that it's not actually pleasing to the Lord. It's not really, you know, if the person is doing all this worship to Krishna, so much respect to Krishna, then doesn't acknowledge or respect other living entities or other devotees, then how is that pleasing to Krishna? Just like in Jagannath Puri, you know, they do so much puja and everything like that, but then they beat the devotees with sticks if they try to go into the temple. Prabhupada actually said, I heard my Guru Maharaj say, Prabhupada said, Jagannath has left the temple. Because Jagannath does not tolerate seeing the devotees. That's Kanishka mentality. I respect the deity, but I do not respect the deity's devotees. Prabhupada said he's not Hindu Nath. But he's Jagannath. He's Lord of everything. He's not Lord of the Hindus. Just like we go to Jagannath Puri, we go to Gundicha temple, all these temples where Mahaprabhu performs his part. And the guard there at the temple, he says, we can't let you in. He's very nice, very pious man. I was speaking to him, I think, last year. He said, we can't let you in because you're not Hindu. This is the rules. You know? And even they, you know, he may say, well, I don't agree. You know, it's not that I agree, but this is the rules they have here. There's no Hindu is allowed to be clear. Okay. So there's just there's material consciousness. But okay. It's not satisfying to the Lord. The Lord has no satisfaction. Even one year I went there, and then I said to him, I was having a joke with the guy in the gate, and I said, I was joking. Maybe he thought I was serious, but I said, I said 100 rupees. I'll give you 100 rupees. I give you 1,000 rupees. He said. I said, I give you 1 lakh. He said, 1 lakh. Like that. And he walked all the way into the temple and asked some other guy. And then he came out and said, no. Like that. Then suddenly he became, you know, so what is this? This is material consciousness. It's not pleasing to the Lord. No satisfaction. So Prabhupada is pointing out that a devotee must offer respect even to an ant. This is actual spiritual life, that we offer respect to any living entity, to the ants, to the trees, to the fish, to all the different living entities, all the different species of life. They are given respect because we see them as being part and parcels of Krishna. If you do not develop this consciousness, you cannot become dear to Krishna. You cannot truly advance in Krishna consciousness. You're not actually becoming advanced if you don't develop this spiritual vision towards other living entities. Mahim shatsava bhutani. Devotee will not commit violence to anyone, even to an ant. The famous story which is there is of Migrari the hunter. who was killing animals and half killing them, and he would enjoy seeing them suffer. So when Narada, he saw the animals were dying in pain, he said, why don't you just kill them outright? He said, don't kill them half killed, because if you half kill them they suffer so much. He said, just kill them. If you're going to kill them completely. He said, this is where I get my pleasure. Seeing them dying in pain like that. So then Narada preached to him and changed his heart and turned him into his disciple. And then when Narada approached him one time with Parvati, then when Magrari saw his guru coming, then he began to offer his obeisances, and he was wiping with his chatter, he was wiping the hands out of the way. Before he offered his and Parvati Muni said, he said to Narada Muni, he said, this is your greatness. Now previously he was a hunter who was killing animals and making them suffer, now he's not even killing ant. Like that. So that is Krishna consciousness. That you offer respect to every living entity. You cannot just offer respect to the Lord, you cannot just offer respect to the Guru or to the advanced devotees, that's to all the devotees. This is Krishna consciousness. You know, not the devotees, you know, arguing and bodily concept and all these things. It's not the mood. How do you go into the spiritual world if you don't develop this vision? What do you think happens in the spiritual world? Everyone is arguing with each other and, you know, there's all factions and like that, and you know, it does not take place. So this consciousness has to be, we have to transcend this bodily consciousness. Prabhupada explains in this section, do not see the body. But see the soul, see the Paramatma. Now be aware like this. You have to develop this consciousness. And in this way, we will not commit violence even to any living entity. A plant, to anything. The most advanced consciousness is that the sages, the rishis from the past, they would go into the forest, they would only eat the fruits which had fallen from the trees. That's the most advanced. Won't even pluck the fruit from the tree. So advanced in their consciousness. Drink the water from the rivers, take the fruits which have already fallen, like that. Such advanced consciousness, like that. Because it will not cause any suffering to any other living entity. This is Krishna consciousness. If you have not developed this consciousness, then how can you be dear to Krishna? Oh, Krishna, you know, I am so attached to you, but I am so disrespectful to all of these living entities and the other devotees. It's not satisfying to Krishna in any way, shape or form. And Prabhupada explains why as we go through this section.
What
was
the name of that hunter?
Mrigrari. It is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The story is told. You can see it in there.
So, in order to keep basically the kitchen very clean and prevent the ants from basically contaminating, you know, the boga, which actually goes after to Krishna.
The ants?
Ants. And so sometimes the ants can climb actually all the way on the altar and actually move on the photos and, you know, the bodies of the deities and so on. We need to actually have our house pest control from time to time. Do you think it is, are we violating any instruction here by doing that?
Yeah, Prabhupada's comment was that in some of the temples they had cockroach problems and like that. Prabhupada said that is because you are dirty, because you are leaving prasad. It means there must be something for them to eat. They don't come if there's nothing to eat. So it means the kitchen is not clean, because, you know, they were killing cockroaches and like that. Prabhupada said you should be killed. He said, don't kill a cockroach, he said you should be killed because you're not clean. But even in some places, even when you clean everything, still they are coming. So if that's the case, then you may have to do something practical. Then you may have to exterminate them all. But best is, just like we had a problem here in Melbourne on the altar for a number of years, cockroaches. On the altar. Not so much now, but previously the problem, they just come all the time. So we cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and still they were coming. So then what we did, we went around and blocked everything. So there's not even a crack that he gets through, and then practically they disappear. So you have to do everything practical. Last resort is then you kill them. If nothing else works, but this is not the first choice. You know, in the Western world these days, if anything moves, just shh, kill it.
Best
you know, as soon as you see something move, just shh, kill it all. Yeah, but that's the last resort for the devotee. Okay.
Do you
think that
is repellent for the end? Do you have repellents which
Patrikalpan.
Mm.
I heard vinegar and I think eucalyptus, but for me it didn't work. I haven't in summer, but vinegar worked.
Mm. Yeah, there are natural things. Just like at the farm, our problem is spiders. Yeah, they just come everywhere. You just build cobwebs everywhere, and it doesn't matter what you do, they just come. Yeah, you clean everything away, and then 1 week later, they're all back again. So Vedapriya looked in one book, and they said use, I think it's lemongrass, or I think it might even be lemon juice. So when we put lemon juice on the brush, on the broom, and then we like sweep everywhere, then they don't come back as much now. Still, they're coming. They're not like before, like that. So try to use some natural things and like that. But last resort is to kill.
Yeah, last week a couple of guys came like preaching Bible to me. So first question I asked them, that tell them before we go to the Bible, do you keep me? So they said that yes. So then I asked what Jesus Christ said about it. So what they claim is that killing animals for eating is permitted as per the Bible, but killing the animals for the sports is not permitted. So I asked them, can you show in the Bible?
So what's their point? Give them prasad, prasad. Give them prasad and say Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you can do. Like that, because there's in mode of ignorance.
There are Christians for vegetarians,
but
haven't
this universe
a lot that
create
a vegetarian.
Part of their philosophy to be vegetarian.
Orthodox Muslims eat only halal meat, which implies that they allow the animal to die slowly, and only that they call the spiritual meat.
Mm. Yet another speculation. Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, it's totally bogus. Flesh is flesh. You cannot offer it to God, to Krishna, so Allah does not accept it. Okay. 23. Can we turn the heater on?
No.
On? It's not working?
Yes.
It's not working properly. It turns off by itself. But one who offers me respect but is envious of the bodies of others and is therefore a separatist never attains peace of mind because of his inimical behavior toward other living entities. Ananda Balabhapur, can you read the first paragraph?
In this verse, two shows Redu, Bhuteshu Bhatta, Vairasya, inimical towards others, and Divishataha, Barakaye, envious of another body, are significant. One who is envious of or inimical towards others, never experiences any happiness. If Jupiter's vision therefore must be perfect, he should ignore bodily distinctions and should see only the presence of the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord and the Lord himself in his plenary expansion as super soul. This is the vision of a pure devotee. That is the vision of a pure devotee. The bodily expression of a particular type of living entity is always ignored by the devotee.
Mm. So this is Pandit Samadashima. Krishna describes it in the Gita that one must have this spiritual state of consciousness or vision that you see past the body. You do not see the body, you do not see the designations, but rather you see the soul, Atma and Paramatma, like that. And one should not be envious of anyone, because if you have spiritual vision, you'll see all living entities as being part and parcel of Krishna. Then how can you be envious? Because factually speaking, all of us are God's children. Just like in the family, you should not be envious of your brothers or sisters. What is the point? If they're your brother or sister, then how can you be envious of them? That's not the mood or spirit of someone who's your brother or your sister. So every living entity is our brother and our sister, so how can we be envious of them? If we're envious of them, that means we're not understanding in the spiritual platform that all of us are Krishna's children. Every living entity is Krishna's child, is Krishna's expansion. So therefore, if we disrespect them, we are disrespecting Krishna.
Mm.
This is not spiritual vision, it's envy. Like that. That's what keeps us in the material world. If you're envious of someone, it means you're still envious of Krishna. You cannot say, oh, I love Krishna, but then. Okay. It means if you're envious of someone, then you're definitely envious of Krishna. Still. Okay.
What's the meaning of the last line?
The last line means the bodily expression of a particular type of living entity is always ignored by the devotee. It means you don't see the body. You don't say, oh, this is a dog and this is a cat. Oh, I like dogs but I don't like cats. But that's you ignore the body. The devotee sees past the body. He doesn't see it like that.
Although we appreciate that basically the soul is a super soul, despite the gentle living entity, we sometimes in the course of preaching have to give the examples of the people, and you know, we have to sort of criticize their activity. It sounds like, you know, we are holding ourselves as inimical to, you know, those people, but we are doing that in the course of preaching.
Yeah.
Is that a lot?
Prabhupada would criticize, I mean, Prabhupada even said, we are all good and you are all bad. Prabhupada said that. He said, we are all good. It means the devotee is good and the non-devotee is not following Krishna's teaching, so therefore that is bad. But as Jesus said, then you hate the sin, not the sinner. So sometimes we may point out the defects of the conditioned souls, their activities are incorrect, but it doesn't mean in our heart we have an animosity towards them. Like that. So that should not come across in our preaching. Yeah, we point out, okay, this person is acting inappropriately, or, you know, this group of people are, you know, materialistic. You know, we condemn meat eating, and we condemn gambling and all these improper activities, but we don't have animosity towards the people.
How will people understand Maharaj?
Yeah, so they're envious of Krishna, so Prabhupada points out as we go through the section, he says you must avoid those who are envious. They must be avoided. We're not sentimental. That's not what Rupa Goswami teaches. He says that if someone is envious of Krishna, or someone is inimical towards Krishna or Krishna's devotee, we avoid those people. They're envious, so we keep them at a distance. But still we understand they're in mind like that. So he said we have the vision that they are, at this point in time, we cannot take their association because they're hearts are full of envy. But still we understand their position is they are illusion by Krishna's Maya, Shakti, by Jnana, Karma or Jnana in their illusion. So we see them like that. Okay. So it's not that we don't hate them,
yeah.
But we definitely avoid them. And we think that we won't tolerate any of their inimical statements.
I think all these things we learn as we advance, isn't it? Like, as we more and more we advance, we see all these things in the proper. That's why the three stages, Neophyta, Madhyama, Kanista, Madhyama.
Yeah, so if you advance, that's the point. That's why you have to, if you study this section, that's like I studied this section yesterday and today, and my heart has changed a great deal by studying this section, because I'm understanding what is actual devotional service, what is actual spiritual vision. You know, we talk about these things for years and years and years, but when do we actually get to the point where we actually develop this vision? And we actually begin to see other living entities as spiritual. Like this is Krishna consciousness. So I read that second paragraph. Ram, please.
It is expressed herein that the Lord is always eager to deliver the conditioned souls who have been encased within material bodies. Devotees are expected to carry the message or desire of the Lord to such conditioned souls and enlighten them with Krishna consciousness. Thus they may be elevated or transcendental spiritual life, and the mission of their life may be successful. Of course, this is not possible for living entities who are lower than human beings. But in human society, it is feasible that all living entities can be enlightened with Krishna consciousness. Even living entities who are lower than human beings can be raised to Krishna consciousness by other methods. For example, Shivananda Sena, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, delivered a dog by feeding him the sadhana. distribution of prasada or the eminence of fruit offered to the Lord, even to the ignorant masses of people and to anyone views such living is the chance for elevation to Krishna consciousness. Actually, it happened that the same dog, when met by Lord Chaitanya in Puri, was liberated from the material condition.
What are the points in this paragraph?
A devotee should uplift everybody irrespective of their form. It's the duty of every living entity to help the living entities in lower stages like the animals and all, by feeding them prasadam. Help everybody to go back to where it is.
Yeah, so Prabhupada is saying that even living entities who are lower than human can be raised to Krishna consciousness by other methods. And Prabhupada says, distribution of prasad or remnants of foodstuff offered to the Lord, even to the ignorant masses of people and to animals, gives such living entities the chance for elevation of Krishna consciousness. So this is how we display mercy to those who are ignorant, or those who are unable to advance further in Krishna consciousness easily, then we must distribute prasadam. That is the necessity of distributing prasadam. Just like yesterday at the farm, we had one festival at one town not far from the farm, about half an hour's drive, called Forest. And it was a very small event, and it's just like a little country town. And they had a primary school there, and they were having like an open kind of day for the primary school. So they rang us up and said, can you bring some of your food? So we went down and we distributed prasad, but we saw how much effect it had on the people. About how much over the years, because devotees have distributed prasad from the farm for the last 20 years, what to speak in Melbourne, and I even met one man from Sydney who used to take prasad in Govindas in Sydney, and how much effect it had. And everyone was just glorifying the prasad and glorifying the devotees and Krishna and all this. And this is how we affect the masses. Because it's too difficult to affect them otherwise. How you can't hardly speak to the principles of Bhagavad Gita. You can't glorify the holy name to them. And they don't even have the consciousness at this point to understand basic things, because their habits are too much in ignorance. Like that. But by distributing prasadam to them, it's the most effective way to purify their consciousness. And you can see they're all attached to prasadam. And as soon as they walked in and they saw that the devotees were there, immediately they came straight to us and said, oh, do you have your food? So we give them the prasadam, and immediately you can see that it's coming from the platform of the soul. And it's not coming from the material platform, but from the soul they're becoming, you can see they have a higher taste for Krishna consciousness, for prasadam. So this is how, by mass prasadam distribution, this is how we purify the consciousness. And then, yesterday I was speaking to people, I must have spoken to 10, 20, 30 people who were very deeply attached to the prasadam. And then Veda Puri and I were speaking last night, we were discussing how in Australia, because devotees have distributed so much prasadam here, then there's so much favourable attitude towards Krishna consciousness. These people like the devotees. And they like the devotees because of the prasad, because it purifies them. And they become attracted towards Krishna. Like that. You see, in many countries in the world, we're having so many problems with government, with other religions, with just the people in general, with spreading our movement, being seen as a cult, right? Even in Australia many years ago, we had a very bad public image. By prasadam distribution, primarily, we've just changed the entire situation. So this is important. This is how to get to the masses. This is how to purify the masses. So it is necessary for every devotee, especially every grihastha, it's their responsibility to give prasadam. You must give prasadam, that is your responsibility of every devotee. Prabhupada actually says this in the next purport. He said this is your responsibility. He said if you worship the deity, you must distribute prasadam. Prabhupada actually says this in the next section. If you cook at home and you offer to the deity, means even if you just have pictures at home, if you have an altar, if you cook at home and you offer to the deity, to the picture of Krishna, if you offer to Krishna, Prabhupada said it is your responsibility to distribute that prasad. To anyone, take it to work or walk at. Prabhupada says you walk out the front of your house before you take prasad and you shout out prasad three times.
Programs you can do.
Yeah, you work it out. You work it out. But the point is that you have to distribute prasadam. Prabhupada says it in the next paragraph. He said if you worship the deity, if you offer bhoga to the deity, right, you must distribute that prasad. It's not just for you or your family. Prabhupada said, okay, Prabhupada actually said next week, he said that is good, okay, that you and your family take, but he said that's not advanced consciousness. Advanced consciousness means you distribute like that to the animals, like that. How do the animals become purified? By taking prasad. Just like at the farm, you know, we feed the cows and we lead the prasad out.
The official Govinda Prabhu, his wife,
she
had a horse, and they used to take the
prasad
and feed that horse.
At the farm, we lead the prasad out, and the kangaroos come and eat it, and you know, we see all the birds come and eat it like that. This is your responsibility. You must distribute prasad. In the ancient times, when they did the big yajnas, Maharaj Yudhishthira, when they did the big yajnas, first they feed the brahmanas, right? And then kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, untouchable people. And it even says they would feed the dogs and the animals, make sure everyone had prasadam. That was the system. So Prabhupada, this is how to purify the living entities, and this is how to develop spiritual vision. That they are all spiritual entities. You must engage them in Krishna consciousness. You must distribute prasadam to them. So,
okay,
so
that's not how this works. We have one patient, and she first got the book. Then she came another time, I gave her the beast, so she started chanting one round in the evening, and the beast ate a bit. And then I think, what to do now? I'm not going to see her. I start taking prasadam, and I will call her because she is very close. And she will come, and once I was giving her gulab jamun, and her husband is very close to diabetes. And you know, this is on the border, he should not be sweet. And one night she went in the bathroom and she saw her husband eating ice cream and gulab jamun. What are you doing? I said, well, I was afraid of you, so I had to take gulab jamun in the middle of the night. And then her children, she looked after the grandchildren, and they're like 11 years, and one is smaller, I don't know exactly. And straight away, when they come from the school, straight away go in the fridge for the sweets. And she's saying, are you going to leave something for us? like that. And then she was telling them, you should not eat so many sweets. And they tell her, how come you are eating so much? So we can't tell them anything. So they come actually every Thursday also.
Good, there is one more. Bhakti Thakur Maharaj, in one of his initiation. He has started one of the projects in which, as a part of the state government thing, they have to serve the kids into the schools. And one of these disciples, he has delivered some high-tech thing, so that is like four-story building, and within like 2 hours they can fit thousands, they can prepare meal for 1,000 students, and they can travel all the way 30-40 kilometers everywhere, and being served, and it's cooked very efficiently, so it's not much overhead. So, and all the kids are getting prasadam every day because it's part of the mission of the state government to have one meal a day for a child to the school.
The
Okay. The point you're saying is that in past, in Australia, we have to had experience when I went to BTF last time. I was managing one tent, and there were a few people who were waiting, you know, always like anything to serve. They're like 45 minutes behind Shetina, and people are waiting, 35 people are waiting for the game, and they want to serve Krishna, they want to have Krishna, and these people are like a very, you know, they follow all the physical events in lawn and all this, you know, very practice and everything. And they said, we know that we'll be a 10 Shetina, so we're looking for one. And they're surprised, like, you know, how Prabhupada, you know, previous devotees, you know, so many people have prepared so much for Krishna.
Don't say that, it's kind of always like,
I don't know, we are not selling them.
I'm saying don't say Iskhan is not always late. It's certain individuals in Iskhan are always late. Right? But certainly, like, if you come to our farm, we're not late. Because Prabhupada wasn't late. It's not like this course doesn't have to be late. And we start on time. And now, because it's Monday and Tuesday and everyone's struggling to get on time, so I start a little bit later, but this one does not have to be late. It's just some speculation as to can you.
So a few
years ago, they came and there was not even set up anything, but, like, I know they didn't start timing, so... Yeah. Actually, Prabhupada would not have approved of something like that. Prabhupada would never late. He wouldn't approve of lateness, so I don't think it's like a standard thing now. Yeah, it's become like a modern day ISKCON acceptance that everything has to be late. Oh, it's not late, it's not ISKCON, it's just less bogus. Okay. Where are we up to?
24.
Okay. My dear mother, even if he worships me with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. So you can see how much Kapila Devi is.
But the emphasis is there on the same content.
Yeah, how much he's emphasizing. Yeah.
Talking about the same thing.
Yeah, he's emphasizing this point. Very important point. You really have to meditate on this particular section like that. To understand pure devotional service, then you have to understand this point which Kapila Devi is making. It's a very important mood which is being cultivated yet. Like that. If you don't have this mood, you can't elevate yourself to pure Krishna consciousness. Pure Krishna consciousness means having this vision. That is the vision Prabhupada showed us.
But I think the responsibility as a devotee will be more, because you got access to this knowledge, and if you don't follow it, you are not doing justice to what you learned. As compared to the person who don't know, and if he is acting like that, their sins are not as gross as a devotee's sins.
If there's a devotee.
Like being a devotee now, we have access to this knowledge.
Mm.
So if knowing this, then if we still treat different devotees or different people differently, then it's a bigger sin as compared to the person who don't know about this.
Yeah. That's the danger of coming to this course. Now you know what to do. Now you're accountable. Krishna is watching you. Performing his prescribed duties, one should worship the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and the hearts of other living entities as well. Prabhupada makes some amazing points here in this section. Prabhupada says the reason we must offer respect to every living entity is because every living entity is an expansion of Krishna. Right? It's not my bad philosophy, but it is, if we understand it properly, and I've been studying this the last 2 days, it's an amazing point and concept, is that every living entity is part of Krishna. They're coming from Krishna. So in one sense, every living entity is Krishna. A part of Krishna. Where do we come from? We come from Krishna. We are Krishna in a sense. It's not my bad, it's not we are Krishna, but every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. We've expanded from Krishna. Therefore, if you do not offer respect to a living entity, you're not respecting Krishna, because we are part of Krishna. Like that. Just like one time one devotee said to Prabhupada, who is Srimati Radharani? Like that. Prabhupada said, she is Krishna. That's a very interesting answer. Right? Because our philosophy is achincha veda, veda tabat, one but different. Right? We don't think Radharani is Krishna. You know, Radharani is Radharani and Krishna is Krishna. But still, right, Shakti Shakti Mam, right, she is Krishna. Prabhupada said she is Krishna.
Mm.
Right? Because she's coming from Krishna. She's Krishna's energy. But she's eternally different from Krishna. One but different. So all of us are eternally one with Krishna, we are different. It's not my bar, but the fact is that everyone is Krishna. And in the sense that we are all created by Krishna. We are part of Krishna. Therefore, it's not my bar philosophy. It should not be misconstrued, because the my bar is to say, oh, everything is one. That's wrong. But the point is that if you do not respect the living entity, you're not respecting Krishna. Because every living entity is a part of Krishna. Therefore, you can't say, oh, I respect. It's why Kapila has made this point so strongly in this section. You respect the deity, but you don't respect the devotee. How? Then that's not complete. Because the devotee is part of Krishna. So therefore, it's incomplete spiritual realization. It means you don't have proper consciousness. You don't have proper realization of the absolute truth. Right? To understand the absolute truth means you have to understand the Lord and the Lord's energies.
Mm.
Right? Jiva Shakti. Right? Shakti Tattva, Jiva Tattva. Right? Vishnu Tattva. Right? Shiva Tattva. Everything must be understood properly. And then that is proper Krishna consciousness. It's offering proper respect to Krishna. Okay? Otherwise, it doesn't give pleasure to Krishna. It is natural to, it is natural for every living entity to be happy in the association of other living entities, and to love other living entities is natural. Right? It's natural for life people. Just like a devotee said to Prabhupada, everyone likes you. Prabhupada said, because I like everyone. That is the spiritual condition, that is the spiritual consciousness. Prabhupada would like everyone. He had that feeling. Why is that? Because that's Krishna consciousness. Okay. So we have to understand this point that Kapila gave you.
Yes, that's what one should worship the deity
until one realizes my presence is the contrast in the heart of the living. What's after? No, it doesn't mean stop. But it means, what's being said is that this is the whole point of your deity worship. The point of your deity worship is to develop this vision, is what Kapila Dev is saying. If you're doing your deity worship but you're not, you know, it's like, this is what we say. If you study Bhagavatam, then Bhagavatam is Krishna. So when you study Bhagavatam, you should be becoming attracted to Krishna. That's the point of studying the Bhagavatam. But if you're attracted to Krishna but you're disrespecting other living entities, then what is the point of your study? If you worship Krishna, the deity, if you're worshipping the deity every day, if you don't respect the living entities, then what's the point of the worship?
In English, we said to serve mankind is godly.
If you understand it properly, yeah. it's true, but in India they say everything.
From this point of view, it's true.
Yeah.
Right?
Prabhupada says in the next couple of purports, he brings out that point of Daridra. Narayan. Totally, you know, it's a speculation. How did Narayan become poor? Yeah, Prabhupada mentions in the next couple of purports, he goes into that. So many of the things they say in India are true, but a lot of it's misconstrued and speculated, and
yeah,
people don't understand. But yeah, it's true, basically.
No, but they don't look into the full picture of it. They just look at Vamasa.
Yeah. So therefore, you have to quote the Bhagavad Gita. That's the point. In India, they quote one line from the Gita, but then they don't quote the next line. There's like the Gita, it says, do your duty. Yeah, do your duty. So everyone in India, do your duty. You get to the airport in Delhi, it says on the wall, it says, do your duty. You know, Gita says, do your duty. What's the next line say? But don't be attached to the result.
That they don't want.
Yeah, don't put that line in. What's the speculation? Okay. As the blazing fire of death, I cause great fear to whoever makes the least discrimination between himself and other living entities because of a different outlook. Kapila Dev says that if you do not develop this division, this vision, you will die and you'll be born again. That's the point. It's just repeated birth and death. Until you develop this vision of seeing all living entities as parts of Krishna and respecting all living entities, then you just stay in birth and death, because you're endless. You can't transcend. You can't get beyond birth and death. You don't get liberation.
Because
they're
saying duality is like
this?
Duality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Therefore, through charitable gifts and attention, as well as through friendly behavior, and by viewing all to be alike, one should propitiate me who abides in all creatures as their very self. So this is a nice way to develop this consciousness of seeing all living entities as equal, like that. Like Kapila Dev says, through charitable gifts. Give in charity. Yeah. Okay. Give in charity. This is the point. Give charity. Give charity. Give charity. It's how to. The heart becomes so soft when you give charity. Just give. What's that? You know, whenever we go to India for like our pilgrimage, we give charity. Look after everyone. Like that. That's the mood of the devotee. The devotee doesn't think of himself. He doesn't think, you know, what do I get? You know, what's in it for me? You know, we go to holy places, and as devotees, we're always thinking of others. We're not so concerned about ourselves. Now, we're not so worried about, you know, what will happen to me. Just give to everyone else. Look after everyone else. The only matter for you will be taken care of. That's how devotee feels. Like that is the consciousness. Hmm? So, offer charity and attention. Attention means respect. Right? You should offer respect to every living entity. It is said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whoever came to his home, because he was very highly placed, he was the highest placed Indian in the British Raj, in the British government, in the British ruling India. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the highest placed person, Indian body person in the whole of India. That's how respected he was by the British and so forth. So he was a very powerful man. But when people become powerful, then they become exploitive in their consciousness. You know, when someone gets power, then they become somewhat exploitive. But it's said that whoever came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, whether they were a beggar or whether they were a very high placed person, he would treat them exactly the same. And that is that's the consciousness of a pure Vaishnava, a pure devotee. Like that. So this is the mood. This is what we need to see. We need to see everyone as equal. Not that, oh, you know, this person is good, but this person is not good. Okay. And it says, through friendly behavior and by viewing all to be alike. So devotees are naturally friendly. That's why people like, just like when I was at this catering job yesterday, we were preaching, and one lady came to me and she said, you know, I came to your farm 10, 15 years ago. She said that at that time I was working in Geelong as I was looking after people who had mental problems, mentally impaired.
Mentally impaired.
Yeah, I'm not sure what she meant, whether, but something was there. And she said I was looking after them. She said I rang some of the churches and asked them, you know, can we have some, can you speak to them? And many of them said no, 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 because of, you know, the people who were involved. And then she rang the Hare Krishna farm. She rang the farm 10 or 15 years ago. And the devotee said, yeah, you can come, no problem. She said, oh, I want to bring these people. She said, yeah, no problem, you come. And then the devotee said, but you can only come if you have lunch.
Okay.
Right? You're not allowed to come if you don't take lunch. Like that. So she said, okay, like that. So they came, and the devotee had kirtan, and they said some discussion, and then they fed everyone prasadam. And she said, that was the best day of my career. She said, when I think back, she's retired now. Mm. She said, when I think back to all my years working, she said, that was my best day. Because no one ever took care of us like that. Mm. Right? So it says here, devotee is friendly to everyone. That is a devotee. They're always friendly. You know, look at the way Prabhupada. You know, recently I was at a Thursday night at the farm, we have a Nam Hatha program. Very small one, but starting. We're having a little program, and the devotees were showing us one video not a Prabhupada, but of the first Rath Yatra in 1967 in San Francisco. And you should have seen the hippies. You know, everyone was just hippie. You know, like all the devotees still, not even the devotees were wearing dhotis and kurtas yet, still everyone, most of the devotees had beards. Only Jayananda Prabhu was shaved up and had, you know, looking like devotees, but most of the devotees weren't even like looking, and most of the people there, they were just hippies. And this is what Prabhupada was preaching to, but how did Prabhupada treat everyone? He was so friendly to everyone. He didn't reject them all. Just like when one time one of Prabhupada's godbrothers said, they said, yes, Swamiji was successful, but he liked to preach to those kind of people. Meaning that, you know, maybe within their consciousness, they would not preach to those kind of people. But Prabhupada did not see any disqualification. He preached in India for 30 years or more. you know, preached, he made one disciple. Right? And then he went to the west, right? And he preached to all the untouchables. Right? But then he did not see them. He saw them exactly this vision. Right? Because he had this vision of seeing them as spirit souls, right? He changed them. And in 1970, then he brought 40 of them back to India. Right? Vaishnavas, all shaved and nice, you know, dhotis and saris like that. And Prabhupada called them his dancing white elephants. And then he had programs all over Bombay, Delhi, all this. And then he started making, and then he established Mayapur, he established Vrindavan, he established Juru, like that. And then the movement took off. And then now you go to, you know, you go to ISKCON in India now. ISKCON in India is powerful. You know, look how many devotees there are, and you know, you've got Ujjain, you've got Bhakti Chiruswami in Ujjain, you've got the Delhi temple, and you've got Vrindavan, you've got Chalpati, you've got Juhu, you've got Mayapur, you've got, you know, just so many powerful temples, right? And how did Prabhupada start all of that? Mm-hmm. Not because they have pure spiritual vision, right? He didn't see anyone as low or like that. He saw everyone on the spiritual platform, he uplifted them, and then that's how he started his mission. That's the potency of a pure devotee. That's the vision of the pure devotee.
What's the meaning of propitiate?
Propitiate? Once you propitiate, therefore, church has a new source. Yeah, by viewing on it, one should propitiate me.
Satisfying.
Yeah, it means by satisfy, and means by worship or satisfy. It pleases Krishna to propitiate. Okay. Okay. Where are we up to?
38.
Living entities are superior. Okay, now, this is the next section which begins now. Now Kapila Devi speaks about all the different living entities. From verses 28 to 33, he speaks about the different grades of living entities. Like that. Now the point is that the living entities, we should not be sentimental. The living entities have different types of consciousness according to their body. So it means that Kapila Devi is teaching us we should respect them all equally on the spiritual platform. But materially, then we should not be sentimental. Now, we should deal materially according to the body of the particular living entity. Prabhupada is the purport, the example of the tiger. Right? Prabhupada says, you don't treat him as a friend because he's going to have you for dinner. You know? You know, food for life. So Prabhupada says you don't treat him as a friend, right? You don't go up to him and embrace him and say, oh, you know, you are my friend, and you know, you know, well, it, you know, we're all equal living entities, and you know, Pandit Samadashasi, you're equal. You can't do like that. He's a tiger. So the Prabhupada said, do not be sentimental. Right? There's not sentiment. Right? Krishna consciousness is not sentiment. We have to discriminate. Like that, we have to see who is who. But the point is, the vision is equal. We offer them respect, but the way we deal with them is different. Yeah, according to like that. Except there was, I think it was Vasudev Dutta?
Yeah,
Vasudev Dutta?
Never.
With the tigers?
No,
no, no, with the tigers. I think it's Vasudev Dutta, I'm just trying to think who it is. Vasudev Dutta. One of Mahaprabhu's associates, I think it's Vasudev Dutta, but he was so intoxicated, so advanced in Krishna consciousness, the tigers would come and he'd be sitting next to the Ganga, and the tigers would come and drink out the Ganga, and he would grab them. And he said he would slap them around the face. He'd go like, you know, he'd slap the tiger out of the tiger. And the tiger, he would say, chant. Put the tiger in the face. It is not recommended. Well, follow, not imitate.
Hari Das Thakur, he lived in the snake. And some people said to leave this cave, but he was there in the snake naturally.
Yeah, different examples there of how the devotees would deal with the.
Yeah.
But these were the most elevated devotees.
Yeah.
Okay. Living entities are superior to inanimate objects, O Blessed Mother, and among them living entities who display life symptoms are better. Animals with developed consciousness are better than them, but and better still are those who have developed sense perception. So, dull matter, like a stone, a living entity who is alive is better than stone. And Prabhupada points out in the purport that some stones, some mountains and so forth, they have a living entity inside them. And the soul is inside. Prabhupada said there are some stones or some mountains which grow. So therefore we understand that they have a living entity within them. Just like the Bhagavad Gita speaks later on about mountains which fly. An Indra used to clip the wings of the mountains. And the mountains would fall. Just like one devotee was saying about Ayers Rock. You know, you go into the middle of Australia, just like we're flying over Ayers Rock a few years ago when we were going to India. So we're flying over and then just desert and desert, and then suddenly there's a big rock. Well, you know, it doesn't make so much sense. So a good chance that maybe Indra threw some thunderbolt and cut off the wings and the rock may have fallen. So then, higher than the rocks, the living entities in the rocks, are the trees. Right? Now the trees, Prabhupada said they can, Prabhupada says in the purport, they can see and smell. Trees can see and smell. I didn't know this, I only found this out today when I read this. Prabhupada said they can see and smell. Well, they can, Prabhupada said sometimes they grow and then they grow around something. And they keep going. What's that?
How they can see.
I don't know. They must have some vision. They can see, Prabhupada said they can see and smell.
The Parvati,
she is the daughter of the mountain? Yeah. Parvati. Who?
Parvati.
Yeah. Parvati.
Yeah.
So some of the mountains have souls. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada says in the book. Among the living entities who have developed sense perception, those who have developed the sense of taste are better than those who have developed only the sense of touch. Better than them are those who have developed the sense of smell, and better still are those who have developed the sense of hearing. So Prabhupada says this is proof of evolution, Vedic evolution, because higher than the lower species are the fish, the aquatics, those who live in the water. They are considered lowest of the 8,400,000 species of life. So lowest are the fish, higher than the fish are the plants, the trees. Higher than the plants and the trees are the insects. Higher than the insects are the reptiles. Mm-hmm. Higher than the reptiles are the birds. Higher than the birds are the animals. Yeah, four-legged animals or that. And higher than the animals are the
humans.
Now you become a human, you enter into human species through the cow, through the lion, and through the monkey.
More of goodness,
passion,
and
I haven't heard horse. I haven't heard. It says through, yeah.
Good mode of goodness.
Yeah, cow is a mode of goodness, lion is a mode of passion, monkey is a mode of ignorance. So through those three, that's how you become a human being. So Prabhupada's point is, you should not kill any living entity, because that stops their natural progression to their next body. Because they're coming back up to being a human being. So that's why you get karma if you kill an animal, or if you kill any a tree or any living entity, because when you kill them, then you're stopping them from evolving to their next body.
So, but in some purport, Prabhupada says that if we do act animal sacrifice, we are giving a new life. That is that like authorized like that? Like some of the sacrifices they kill. Them.
Yeah, in the Vedic times, they would chant the mantra to bring the animal back to life.
Human life.
No, they would kill like the cow or the horse,
yeah.
But then they chant mantra and bring it back to life, and it would become a young cow or a young horse.
Uh-huh.
But that was to test that the mantras were working before the jagya. That's why it's forbidden in Kali Yuga.
Mm-hmm.
Five things are forbidden.
Uh-huh.
Horse sacrifice, cow sacrifice, because they can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They kill, but they can't bring it back to life, so it's rejected now. Okay. Let's finish these final verses. Did we read 29?
Yes.
Okay. Better than those living entities who can perceive sound are those who can distinguish between one form and another. Better than them are those who have developed upper and lower sets of teeth, and better still are those who have many legs. better than them are the quadrupeds, and better still are the human beings. Now we'll hear about the different types of humans. Among human beings, the society which is divided according to quality and worth is best, and in that society the intelligent men, who are designated as Brahmanas, are best. Among the Brahmanas, one who has studied the Vedas is the best, and among the Brahmanas who have studied the Vedas, one who knows the actual purport of the Veda is the best. So actually Prabhupada says that one becomes a human when they follow Varnashram.
Mm.
If you don't follow Varnashram, then you're not really human. Prabhupada says polished animals. Actually, and that's actually what takes place now. You know, it's only eating, sleeping, mating and defending. It's not really human life. Human life begins at Varnashram. That's when it begins, technically speaking. Better than the Brahmana, who knows the purpose of the Vedas, is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination, and better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. So out of all human beings, who is the best? The pure devotee, Vaishnava. Right? And Vaishnava is greater than a Brahmana. Some will say, oh, the Brahmana is the greatest. The Brahmana is not the greatest. The pure devotee is the greatest. Out of all human beings, he's considered the topmost. He is the Paramahamsa. Because his consciousness is without any desire, he serves Krishna without any desire for anything in return. That's pure devotional service. That's the highest state of consciousness. Someone who's a Brahmana may still have some bodily consciousness, some pride. Just like I was listening this morning to the pastime Mahaprabhu with Keshava Kashmiri. So he was Brahmana, he was the most elevated Brahmana, so powerful, but still he wasn't the topmost consciousness because there's still selfishness there. And Mahaprabhu completely defeated his pride. So the topmost consciousness, the topmost human is a Vaishnava, a pure devotee. Therefore I do not find a greater person than he who has no interest outside of mine and who therefore engages and dedicates all his activities and all his life, everything unto me without cessation. So this chapter is about pure devotional service, and Kapila Dev concludes this section by saying that the topmost personality is a pure devotee. So tomorrow night we'll probably finish the chapter. Okay, verses 34 to 45 I think. Okay, Shilaprabhupada, a key.
Yay. Yay.